The road may go ever on, but it has to start somewhere, and shadowy fate lurks just around the corner. Today on Lore of the Rings, we look at the first days of Frodo's journey after leaving Bag End. We continue our wandering of the third chapter, Three is Company, from J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring. Be sure to hit that subscribe or follow button if you're new here, and welcome. Now, let's wander.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
This is part two of our wandering through the third chapter of Fellowship of the Ring. Frodo is leaving the Shire. He sold Bag End and is moving to the eastern edges and will eventually make for Rivendell. In my Houghton Mifflin 2002 edition, this is pages 69 through 75. Longtime fans of Lord of the Rings have puzzled over a very short scene in this chapter. It's a riddle they can't understand, something that would have serious implications throughout Middle-earth. All this confusion stems from one small creature, who appears, remarks on the scene, then disappears, and never returns to the story. Lines similar to this singular creature are said by the gatekeeper of Bree in Peter Jackson's movie. Okay, I'm making a bigger deal than I think is warranted, but in all honesty, book fans really have puzzled over this until their puzzlers are sore, to borrow a phrase. It all has to do with what is known as the Thinking Fox. When Frodo and his companions stop for the night, they sleep under a large tree. During the night, a fox comes upon the sleeping hobbits, and the narrator provides us with a full paragraph of this fox's thoughts. Quote, "Hobbits, well, what next? I have heard of strange doings in this land, but I have seldom heard of a hobbit sleeping out of doors under a tree. Three of them. There's something mighty queer behind this." Now, I don't see a lot of complications with this. Tolkien is simply using a creature to describe the scene and drive home the point of how unusual this behavior is for a hobbit. But for many years, and in many forums, Tolkien fans have been discussing the fox's ability to think and reason, and they get rather befuddled. Could all creatures in Middle-earth use logical reasoning the way this fox did? Do animals talk in Middle-earth? What is the level of sentience among the beasts and the birds? Tolkien wasn't a fan of talking animals in fairy stories. He wrote about that in his essay called On Fairy Stories. He felt that talking animals often broke the sense of enchantment. That said, he was willing to break that rule on limited occasions, like the eagles, the raven in The Hobbit, and Juan the Great Hound that helped Lúthien in the First Age of Middle-earth. I'm not interested in such questions, but if you come across a really deep, die-hard Tolkien fan, ask them their opinion about the Thinking Fox, and you might be in for some conversation that's as amusing as Treebeard's stories. But in this reading, we also find some other interesting clues. Tolkien lays out the geography and mentions Frodo looking back at the water, water with a capital W. That is a callback to The Hobbit, where Tolkien didn't yet have a name for the Shire or Hobbiton, but instead called it the Hill, capital H, and the Water, capital W. This is just a little callback to his previous publication. We also see that the hobbits have unusual stealth abilities, as their cloaks make them, quote, invisible, as if they all had magic rings, and they can pass in complete silence. We get a glimpse of Sam's knowledge of geography, as he knows the land well within 20 miles, but is completely awestruck by the outside world. That gives credence to the movie-invented line in Fellowship where Sam says, quote, "If I take one more step, it'll be the farthest from home I've ever been." On YouTube, you can find a hilarious edition of the movies where every time Sam takes a step on screen, that little scene of his is cut in. It's rather remarkable, and I can only stand about 2 minutes of it, but try it out if you'd like. In the movie, Sam's comment gives Frodo the opportunity to quote Bilbo and introduce a new major theme for Lord of the Rings, the road, and how it connects the wide, wild world. More on that theme in a moment. But before we go too far, I would ask one favor from you. And I'll give you three options too. 1. Hit that share button and send a link to this show to a friend of yours. 2. Open your podcast player and leave a rating or review. Or 3. Support this show with a financial donation. Head over to buymeacoffee.com/LOTR podcast and send me a few bucks. I sure appreciate that. Quote, "The road goes ever on and on." This little verse will pop up several times throughout The Lord of the Rings. Frodo claims that it comes to him, but he may have heard it before. This song was being half-sung, half-hummed by Gandalf in the Fellowship of the Ring movie as he's driving the cart into Hobbiton, before Frodo jumps into it. Not only does Frodo introduce the verse, he shares a bit of wisdom that Bilbo used to say. Quote, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out of your door. You step into the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there is no knowing where you might be swept off to." This is a major theme in Tolkien's works, and I don't mean the idea of traveling and walking long distances. No, something more meaningful is at play here. You may be driving or walking right now as you listen to this podcast. Have you ever thought about the road that you are on? And not just about that singular road, but how it connects and weaves with other roads along the way? The road you are on right now is connected to where I am right now, and it's connected to loved ones and not-so-loved ones as well. Roads connect the world together. Bilbo's advice to Frodo continues that the doorstep and path in front of Bag End is the very road to the dark forest of Mirkwood, where giant spiders prey on careless travelers. And that very path takes one to the Lonely Mountain, where for decades a fire-breathing dragon rested on gold. That same road, from the doorstep of Bag End, will eventually lead Frodo to the steps of Mount Doom in Mordor. Yes, the world may be wide and vast and full of interesting peoples and stories, but running through it all, connecting the people, cultures, and languages, is the road, road with a capital R. Beyond the interconnectedness of roads, there's also an element of choice versus chance, or we may even say, character agency versus fate. The road verse, for example, ends in a question. The road connects to a larger way, and where would you choose to go then? Do you really get to choose? Or is Bilbo right, and there's no knowing where you'll be swept off to? Fate is a common theme in myth and fairy stories, and especially in our modern-day fantasy stories. You're likely familiar with a black-masked villain attempting to persuade a farm boy to rule the galaxy with him, and he says, "It is your destiny." The road connects all things, and so you are more likely to bump into fate as you travel. In Frodo's case, that means another near escape from a black rider. But we'll get to that right after this break. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
While on the road, the hobbits hear but can't see a rider on a horse coming towards them. They decide to step off the road and hide. The rider is described as, quote, "a large man who seemed to crouch in the saddle, wrapped in a great cloak and hood. His face was shadowed and invisible." I can't help but think that shadowed here has a double meaning. Not only does the hood cast a shadow over the rider's face, but the rider is literally embodied shadow, an emissary of the great shadow Sauron himself. Frodo is seized by a desire to hide and a, quote, "unreasoning fear of discovery." The ring plays on these inner desires, promising safety, if he only slips it on. He begins to justify the action in his mind, when he suddenly is saved by the rider continuing on his way. As Frodo gives a description of the rider to Pippin and Sam, who saw nothing, this gives Sam, and by extension Tolkien, an opportunity to employ another literary device that Tolkien relies on heavily, story within a story. We've seen this device already, Gandalf sharing the story of the One Ring with Frodo, and we'll see it quite a bit more, probably most heavily used in the future chapter called The Council of Elrond. For today's reading, it's Sam who shares the story. When he returned the key to Bag End to his gaffer, the gaffer shared with Sam about his strange encounter with the Black Rider on the night that Frodo left Bag End. Sam is able to give a little more detail about the encounter, saying that the stranger was, quote, tall and black-like, and hissing. This description fits with what Frodo just experienced on the road. This extra bit of detail convinces the hobbits to move off the road. As we conclude today's episode, we've delved into the mysteries of Middle-earth, from enigmatic musings of the thinking fox to the profound themes woven into the story. Whether pondering the nature of sentient creatures or the symbolic significance of the road, Tolkien's world continues to captivate and inspire me. As you navigate your own journey, remember the words of Bilbo, and keep your feet while you're out on the road. Join me in the next episode, where Sam's wish to see elves will come true. Until next time, may your paths be clear and your adventures grand. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Raise your hand if this has happened to you today. You're in the middle of work, you're knocking things off the to-do list, getting stuff done, and your kid asks you to play. Do you drop everything? Do you ask them to wait a minute? What do? If you're like me, you don't always say yes right away. The kid moves on, you get busy, and you forget to circle back around and play. An opportunity to make a memory has been lost, and the dad guilt settles in. Not so anymore. I've developed a simple game that will enable you to take those small moments and have fun. It's called Dad's Adventure Dice Digital Edition. My 5-year-old daughter asks me nearly every day, can we do Dad Adventure Dice? What follows are some quick rolls of the dice that lead to a fun activity with an intriguing twist. Within 5 or 10 minutes, we've had a lot of fun, shared a lot of laughter, and made a memory together. Download your own Dad's Adventure Dice today. Visit store.adventures.dad to download yours. That's store.adventure.dad to download Dad's Adventure Dice.